This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The View starts live right now. The Battle of 1864, a day after the former president gives his take on abortion rights.
Whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state.
Arizona takes a quantum leap backwards by upholding an abortion ban first introduced 160 years ago. As it sparks a rallying cry from state Democrats.
I assure Arizona women that the fight for our reproductive freedoms is far from over.
Will Trump's history of comments on abortion have Republicans worried about their political future?
There has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Plus, Kirsten Dunst, Kaylee Spaney, and Wagner Moura talk about joining the ranks of the pulse-pounding new movie, Civil War. Here come Hot Topics with Whoopi, Sarah Haynes, Anna Navarro, Joy Behar, Sunny Hostin, and Alyssa Farah Griffin. Now, let's get things started.
Welcome to The View. We walked out to Billy Joel's hit, We Didn't Start the Fire, because it actually happened next door at Tamron Hall studio.
Yeah.
That was a fire.
This morning we had to evacuate the studio because there was a fire that we did not start. We don't know who started it. We don't know what started it. Why are we being photographed just walking down the street?
Well, it was so unusual.
They have a lot of airtime to fill.
I guess so.
I was coming in from the airport, and I did. It was a Hot Topics meeting, so I pressed the Zoom link, and thinking I would find all of you on the Zoom, and it was dark, empty, an alarm, and flashing lights. I thought, holy hell.
It really made me understand my priorities, because once I saw that all the hosts were fine, I was like, where is my glam team? Like, leave Brian, but as long as hair and makeup is safe.
I know. It's very dangerous to see us on the street without hair and makeup.
Wasn't it? And I left my purse in my dressing room.
Oh, that's amazing.
But I grabbed my phone. Very important.
It's one of those situations where what's the first thing you would grab?
Yeah, I grabbed my phone.
Your phone, right? Me too. But
I grabbed my purse.
Yeah, you were ready to go.
You're supposed to run and go, but I grabbed my phone. Okay.
Well, no, when that happens, as you're evacuating, you snatch up your phone, because that's your ID.
It's, yeah.
You always try to remember to take your thing. But here's what happened yesterday. Mm. Not the fire. Tamron did not start the fire.
Well,
we did not.
It was her kitchen.
It was her kitchen, but it doesn't mean it was her. Yeah.
What were they cooking?
All right. Maybe they were cooking each other. I don't know.
Let's move on.
But yesterday, the Arizona Supreme Court set the state's abortion rights back 160 years, upholding a Civil War era abortion ban. Now, Governor Kay Hobbs vowed to fight. This is just the beginning, she said. And State Senator Ava Birch talked about the personal impact of this law. Take a look.
Just now, the Arizona Supreme Court issued its opinion in Planned Parenthood v. Mays, upholding one of the most extreme abortion bans in the country. It has no exceptions for women who are the victims of rape or incest, or any regard for pregnancy complications. The near total Civil War era ban that continues to hang over our heads only serves to create more chaos for women and doctors in our state.
A couple weeks ago, I had an abortion, a safe, legal abortion here in Arizona for a pregnancy that I very much wanted, a pregnancy that failed, like many of my pregnancies before it. And now we're talking about whether or not we should put that doctor in jail. This isn't what the people of Arizona or the people of this country want.
So when you heard it, what was your response?
I said, thank you for the gift to the Democrats in the next election, even though I worry about the women. And, you know, it's like, first of all, you know, the Republican Party seems to want us to take us back to 1964, not 1864, when this particular law was made, way before women had the right to vote.
Way before it was even a state.
Arizona wasn't even a state yet.
Yeah.
But they seem to be flip-flopping around because they know it's a losing issue. So that Kate, what's her name, Carrie Lake. She's like on one side, then she's on another side. The same with Donald Trump. They don't
Carrie
know what.
Carrie Lake, who is running for the U.S. Senate against Ruben Gallego.
Yeah.
And Carrie Lake was actually for this before she was against it. Now,
She's against it now because they see the writing on the wall. They understand that women are going to be motivated to vote.
It's a bad issue for the Republican Party. Let me say this. We could see this coming, right? I mean, you talked about it, Whoopi.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the Dobbs decision, and I think everyone should.
Tell them what it was.
The Dobbs decision just came down overturning Roe v. Wade and precedent, what was supposed to be super precedent. Justice Samuel Alito is the person that wrote for the majority. Mm-hmm. And he said, Roe's failure even to note the overwhelming consensus of state laws in effect in 1868 is striking. So be very clear. He wrote a roadmap for the states so that they could look in their books and go back to the 1860s, even before Arizona was founded, which is 1912, and gave them the game book.
And he was appointed by Donald Trump.
Yes, he was.
Who took the credit for overthrowing Roe v. Wade.
Well, go ahead.
Well, you know a law is crazy when even Carrie Lake thinks that it's too extreme. So she's coming out now because she realizes it does hurt Republicans running in the state and I would say nationwide. What I'm most struck by is I'm constantly hearing from Republican girlfriends who are horrified by what we're seeing in Texas, what we're seeing in Arizona, South Dakota, some of these, the most extreme bans on abortion. Mm-hmm. Even Ronald Reagan always believed in exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. This doesn't even have an exception for rape.
Or incest.
I believe that a lot of elected Republicans are completely out of step with the sentiment of the country because we've seen in Kansas, a very red state, Ohio, and Kentucky, that Republicans turned out to protect some access to abortion. Yeah. So this is a very, that's a big win for Democrats, I believe, in the election, but.
Well, here's something you have to keep in mind. Take a look at the things that they're rolling back. Mm. Remember I said ages ago, you know, they, in their minds, they want to bring slavery back. They're okay with it because, you see, things change. You know, one of the good things about the Supreme Court is you can fight to make sure you make stuff better. Mm-hmm. You don't generally fight to make stuff worse.
or to roll back.
And to me, if you're okay rolling that back, when things were not even a state, when we had no say, so how's that going to roll? What's the next thing? Because, you know, on this, with all of this comes birth control.
Right.
With all of this everything that you need as a woman to have had put in place to make sure that we were doing better than we were.
I haven't spoken on this, and I'd like to make a correction. Go ahead.
It was George W. Bush who appointed Alito, not Trump.
It wasn't.
Well, Trump just got the others in, which helped.
Yes, he did.
Right, listen.
Yeah.
Trump, until a few days ago, was taking credit for having overturned Roe v. Wade because he appointed the three judges that have made this difference. And so now he's trying to distance himself from this. He owns this. This is all about Donald Trump. This is the consequence of Donald Trump's presidency. This is the consequence of the people who voted for Jill Stein. And if you want to stop it, you have a choice. You can vote. Women didn't vote in 1864, but they vote now.
They didn't have the vote in 1864.
Well, the proclamation was 1863.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
In 1864, we didn't have cars. We didn't have toasters. We didn't
have electricity. That's how how far back.
Women had no rights in those
but
days.
But you know what I think is really important is that we don't get numb to all of this, because we're going to continue hearing horror stories between now and November.
Yeah, that's right.
And we have a way to stop this. We have a way to stop this. Electing a Congress that won't impose a federal ban. Electing a president who will stand between us and more rights being taken away, us turning into the handmaid's tale. Electing governors, electing senators. We have a way to stop this, and it is our vote. So women, we need to stand in solidarity with each other. Men, you need to stand in solidarity with us, and we need to roll this back and take back our agency and our right to choose what we do with our bodies.
We'll be right back.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Shopify. Ready to make the smartest choice for your business? Say hello to Shopify, the global commerce platform that makes selling a breeze. Whether you're starting your online shop, opening your first physical store, or hitting a million orders, Shopify is your growth partner. Sell everywhere with Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system. Turn browsers into buyers with Shopify's best converting checkout, 36% better than other platforms. Effortlessly sell more with Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Did you know Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and supports global brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen? Join millions of successful entrepreneurs across 175 countries backed by Shopify's extensive support and help resources. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Start your success story today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/view. Put it all in lowercase. Go to shopify.com/view now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/view.
This is Sunny Hostin. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/view. Just go to Indeed.com/view right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/view. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Also, we did not mention that it's Eid today.
Oh, yes.
So,
Eid. It's the end
which
of
is,
the,
I'll explain this
Ramadan.
Ramadan.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's why lots of folks are off. Your kids may be home from school.
Yes, mine is.
I'm not saying that they are, but they may be. But anyway, here's something different. A recent Japanese study asked test subjects to write down things that are making them angry and then shred the paper. And researchers found that it actually helps bring the people back to a state of calm. I think it's great. What do you think?
It's really a psychodrama when you think about it.
Everything's a psychodrama.
Well, it is. I mean, because you're not directly attacking the person. You're writing it down, and that's what psychodrama is. You have an issue with your mother. There's a member of the group who sits in the chair and behaves like your mother. It's not your actual mother. So writing the note is like a way of venting without actually alienating the person you're writing it to.
That's not going to work for me.
And it's not, it wouldn't work for you.
It wouldn't work for me. Like, that's not catharsis for me. You know, I have to
maybe if venting and cussing out loud, maybe that would be helpful, but I think it's more helpful to cuss at the person and then get the response, and then
but
I feel better.
That causes a lot of anger and rage and violence, possibly, so I would say
I think
go
that's
with
fine.
Note.
Listen, I'm in a...
Unless you don't care about the outcome. Like, if I don't care, right, then I'll just write it down.
I'm in and such a state of anger and outrage by these elections and by all these laws and everything that's happening.
Write the note.
Well, I'm gonna need somebody to send me, like, an endless supply of notebooks.
All right, you don't have to do it on actual paper. Just do it now. Dear so-and-so. Go ahead.
I'm not gonna call Trump dear.
All right. Yeah.
Mira, tú. And I have to say it in Spanish.
Dear, you know who. Per Whoopi. Dear, you know who. Go ahead, write the note.
Go away.
You have taken our country back over 100 years. You have divided us. You have brought out the worst in America. You have unleashed bigotry and racism. You have put women's lives at danger. Should I go on, or am I going to be here the whole hour?
But we are kind of defeating
and
the purpose.
And you are going to be in jail. That's the end of
That's
the letter.
The end of it. But it is defeating Enjoy. The purpose, because the idea of this is that you express what's upsetting you, but you shred it at the end. Because it's you're expressing and getting off your chest, but you're not directing the rage.
How does that
else.
Make you feel better?
I actually think it works. Yeah. I don't really hold on to anger, but I do have a brief, like, burst of it.
Hey,
I usually
That's a gift. Hey. That's a gift.
Hey, she's you. Like that. That's hey, you. Like that. Calm down.
I'm upset now.
Well, let's go.
Write that stuff down.
Who would you write a letter to?
Write it down, baby.
But wouldn't be to them. I would write my feelings about how I feel, and
no,
then
no,
I would
shred
it.
This is an angry letter to somebody.
But then,
like, I would write mine to my fourth grade teacher.
No, you don't.
She's dead.
You don't put.
Yes, I know he's dead. Oh,
it's not to someone. It's just what. It's just the feeling. It's not. It's not to someone.
I like to have an object.
Ah, okay.
So my fourth grade teacher, dear Mr. Fisher, I know you're dead. I'm still angry.
But I didn't kill you.
I'm still angry at you for calling me Brillo Head.
Oh.
Thank you for being supportive.
Yeah.
I was a little kid, Brillo Head, find Portugal on the map. That's not nice.
That's not nice
it's not.
At all.
And I didn't even know where Portugal was. That's the horrible part.
Well, you have to write a letter because
you know
he's
what?
Dead.
Now you're on TV, you've got a glam team, and you've been to Portugal.
But he's dead.
And he's dead.
Which is why none of it makes any sense. Why waste all that time on a dead person?
Because
he's dead. He doesn't care what you
think.
Well,
it's about you. It's about you carrying the anger.
I tear stuff up every day. I tear up stuff every day.
But do you write things to...
It's all written down.
To the next book.
It's all written down. We'll be right back. And we want to let you know that the new season of Bluey, which is starting 2024 as the number one most streamed series across all audiences, is on Disney Plus.
That's cute.
Be sure to catch The Sign, which is Bluey's first ever extended length special, on April 14th. To help celebrate the new season, you're all going home with Bluey ears.
Oh. Yay!
I feel like we need to see these Bluey ears.
Where are they?
We would like to okay.
Perfect.
So while we're getting the Bluey ears, because I want to see them too. Because I feel like I can't be just thrusting things on you. Unless, you know, we have all said, oh no, don't give this to them. You know, unless we need to see them too. But the European, did y'all know?
Tell me.
That the European version of the classic board game Scrabble is introducing a new option called Scrabble Together, where players work together rather than against each other. The creators say they wanted to cater to younger players who are in favor of inclusion over competition.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry, just let me finish. Okay? I have to finish reading this, okay?
I
The question now becomes,
yes,
are they missing the point of the game?
Yes.
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 Or of any game?
Yes.
These are the people who get, like, participation trophies, right?
Yes.
Right.
Well, they say it's Gen Z. I don't agree with that. I think it's the parents with the Gen Zers, because the bottom line is life is a competition, okay? You do not play a game unless it's for points or there's a win involved. Like, for example, we have a clip of my family playing Clue.
Of course.
Oh, look at you.
You see? This is how you play a game. This is how you play a game, okay? You gotta be invested. You gotta be invested. You gotta win.
Well, I think
Sunny has a very violent streak.
There is. There's some real rage to that.
I'm competitive.
No, I worry that Gen Z is being a little bit soft. They clearly never played Oregon Trail, got dysentery, died, and lost the game like millennials did.
Yes.
And I think they need a little bit of that in their lives.
They do.
Well, I have an ongoing game of Words with Friends on my iPad with Martina Navratilova.
Of
course.
She lives in Miami. She's a friend of mine.
Do you know anybody who's not famous?
Do you? You go. I mean, Susie Davis is your best friend. Susie Essman is your best friend.
Susie Essman.
Essman. I can't even say her name. Anyway,
Susie Davis.
All I can tell you is Martina competes.
she's a competitor.
Everybody.
We'll be right back.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So, if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast, now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.
The new thriller, Civil War, paints a grim future of an America torn apart by deep divisions and follows a team of journalists struggling to stay objective as they chronicle the nation's violent collapse. Take a look.
I didn't take a single photo. I didn't even remember. I had cameras on me. Like, oh my God. Like, why didn't I just tell him not to shoot them?
They're probably gonna kill them anyway.
How do you know?
He doesn't know, but that's besides the point. Once you start asking yourself those questions, you can't stop. So we don't ask. We record so other people ask. Want to be a journalist? That's the job.
Hey, Lee.
What?
Back off.
What am I saying that's wrong?
I'm not saying it's wrong. She just shook up.
Lee doesn't understand shook up.
Whoa. I'm not being protective of her. You're the idiot who let her in this car.
Please welcome Kirsten Dunst, Kaley Spaney, and Wagner Moura. We have the first question.
Yes.
Welcome to the View.
Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you.
So this movie is incredible. It's powerful, but it's also very unnerving. Kirsten, you say that it's a warning and a cautionary tale. What do you mean by that?
You know what?
I think that's the wrong wordage because there's discourse all over the world. Mm-hmm. So it really could have been made at any time. The Ukraine-Russian war started when we were rehearsing this film. So to me, this is the kind of movie that really lets audiences put their own, you know, perspectives, feelings, their own political views onto the screen because we don't do that for you.
And I think that was very wise the way you did that. I've, in my previous life, spent time in war zones and in democracies much more fragile than ours, and it was jarring to see it set on U.S. soil. You, as you alluded to, you see this stuff happening other places in the world. Did you want to, what was the idea in wanting to show it could happen here?
That's really a question for Alex Garland, I think, the director. You know, he wrote this during COVID. And I think that he did grow up with war correspondents. And so this was his way in.
Alex wrote this script before the 2020 election and the January 6th insurrection. But in many ways, it's not a political film. It's about ideology. And that's, it's not red states or blue states
not
fighting.
At all. No.
You know, this is a different kind of conversation. But I'm sure y'all knew that at some point somebody was gonna say, this looks an awful lot like, you know, what's going on here.
Yeah, yeah.
What, how do you explain it? How can you explain it to folks so that they understand that this is not a political discussion, but a film about possibilities?
Yeah, I think this is a political film without an ideological agenda. Because it's political. It's a film that's like, we all know what polarization is. We all know the threat that polarization is to democracy. And by the way, not only here, it's everywhere. It's like my home country in Brazil, the whole world is polarized. And I think that Alex captured this, what the people call the zeitgeist, right? Like the collective anxiety that we are all immersed in.
Well, it was a fantastic film. I was saying backstage, it stuck with me. I keep on playing it over and over again in my head. And let me ask you this, Kaylee. At a time when many people are deeply skeptical of the press, I often say journalists are really under attack. They're on the front lines right now. This film seems to me to be a love letter to journalism and truth at any cost, which is so important. You play an aspiring war photographer who tags along with a more seasoned crew, right? Tell us about that and what kind of research did you all do in preparation for the film because it seemed so realistic.
Good. Well, I'm glad you say that. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's a love letter to journalism, and he, Alex, really wanted to make the heroes of this film journalists. And he was talking about how someone told him that no one would ever want to see a movie where, you know, journalists are the centers, and I think it's so refreshing to see, and it was such a treat for me to, in prep, do so much research about these people, and they really, truly are heroes who are sacrificing. You know, they're on the front lines. They're in
sometimes they sacrifice their lives.
Yeah, exactly. And we all watched together in the rehearsal process this documentary that was incredibly useful. It was called Under the Wire. It was about Mary Colvin's story.
That was really
and to see the bonds and the camaraderie and also the inner conflict within these people. That was really it kicked it off for us and to really understand where these people come from.
Yeah, that's a harrowing documentary.
There's some just incredible violent action scenes that take place at iconic locations like the Lincoln Memorial and the White House. And I understand you had a former Navy SEAL help choreograph some of those scenes. What was it like to be in the middle of those sequences?
Well, we shot the film in order, so that was the last 2 weeks of our lives on this set. And Ray Mendoza, who was our Navy SEAL coordinator, you know, we were following everybody, but they had rehearsed and practiced this.
It's so realistic.
It was such an immersive experience the way it was shot. It was almost like shooting a documentary. We had so many cameras, and it was very, very loud. Like, it was as loud as you experience it in the theater. Because Alex used full rounds instead of half or quarter blanks, so it was very, very loud.
And we didn't rehearse with them, so you're watching us sort of trying to fold in.
Because you have different things. You know, they're in a different place when that's going. So, but to see that, I mean, you know, we, actors always want it to look and feel as realistic as possible. Gosh. And we get, sometimes we get so used to what we do that we don't realize that, you know, it's harrowing.
Yes, it felt real.
Yeah.
Kirsten, one scene that really has stuck with me again is when your character encounters a menacing soldier who asks, what kind of American are you? Right? Mm-hmm. Your real-life husband, Jesse Plemons, I was so shocked that it was your husband. He was so terrifying as that soldier, sort of the embodiment of all of our fears in a divisive and divided America. He wasn't originally supposed to be in the movie, right? No. How did that happen?
Well,
why was he so good at that?
The actor had dropped out during rehearsal. Yeah. Mm. And I was like, you know, Jesse's in town with the kids, so. I felt bad I signed him up for that role, but I did. But yeah, he talked to Alex Garland about it and read the script. But it's a very, very, very intense scene. I mean, he plays a brutal racist
He does.
In this scene.
It's incredible. Now, Wagner, you say that as an immigrant from Brazil, that was the hardest scene for you to film.
It was very hard. It was personally, I had read, of course, the scene before, and I was like, this is a very strong scene.
Yeah.
But I wasn't expecting it to hit me so hard when I had Jesse Plemons asking me all, like, for 2 days, what kind of American are you?
Yeah.
I am an American citizen, but I'm not from here. I grew up in Brazil, but I live here. I care about this country. And to kind of, that was very, you know, because it summarizes lots of things, like it was like racism, anti-immigration feelings, xenophobia, all that is also a result of this polarization that we're talking about. So it was very, it was very hard for me. Like in the end, like we shot it for 2 days on when we wrapped. I had an emotional, I was this grass that I laid down on the grass and I was just crying for
it. Wow. Can you look at her husband now?
I love him.
He's such a good actor.
Sweetest so man.
I
know.
He's the sweetest man.
That's the thing about the movies that people make, because sometimes, you know, you're hearing language that you don't want to hear. Yeah. And when you're an actor, you're either the actor who's putting it out there or you're the actor who's absorbing it.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, in between, y'all are poking each other and doing stuff because that's how you stay in this realm of actorly.
Yeah.
You know, because it can get intense. So we're gonna do more with the cast of Civil War when we come back. We are back with the cast of Civil War. Kaylee, you were just here in November for Priscilla.
Yeah.
So good.
And you were nominated for a Golden Globe. Congrats.
Yes.
But they said today that you found out that you got that role on the last day of shooting this role.
Yeah. So I had a meeting with Sophia before we started filming.
Right.
And then I started this film with Kirsten, who I grew up watching, and I fell in love with their work together, Sophie and Kirsten's work together. And so we started filming this movie. I told her about this job offer. She put in a good word for me. Thank you, Kirsten. And on the last day of filming, I found out I got the role, and I jumped out of the car, and Kirsten was in front of her trailer, and I said, Kirsten, she said, what? I got the role, and she started crying. It was a very sweet moment, and she said, oh my God, this is the best film to do right after this movie. Yeah. You're gonna be running around in dresses, you're gonna look beautiful, you're gonna be sat in a bathtub, and it's gonna be great. And it came true, it was really special.
And Kaylee, is it true that the first movie you ever saw in the theater was Kirsten's Spider-Man in 2002?
I just put that together the other day.
We're so young.
I remember sitting on my sister's lap and watching that.
Now you're working together.
I know. Yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah. Now, Kirsten, you recently posted a photo of your son under a Spider-Man umbrella with the caption,
has no clue his mom was MJ.
Now, your son have not seen you in Spider-Man?
Now, the youngest, they both have now, but they don't care about me. They just care about Spider-Man.
Right. Of course. Like,
he just watches the wrestling scene from the first one over and over and over again.
Really?
And he just wants, like, no wrestling moves, you know? Yeah. And then he's, like all over the house. That's like, literally, like, leaping, James, aww, like, whoop.
Yeah.
And you know what he did the other day? Took old, like, Rice Krispie treats or some sticky stuff and was putting it on the wall because he was like, maybe this will help. I was like, why are you putting it all over the wall? And he was like, it's gonna help me stick.
I love that.
He's innovative. Oh, he's thinking forward. Yeah. He's thinking, how can I stick to the wall?
Yeah.
Really have those thoughts all the time.
Great imagination.
What can I do to stick to the wall?
Well, Wagner, I have to ask about Narcos. So when you landed the role of Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar for the Netflix
my
series,
husband loves
you didn't actually speak Spanish. You're Brazilian, so you didn't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
What was it like preparing for that role?
It was the craziest thing I have ever heard. It's like, because I was super thin, I was Brazilian, I am Brazilian. I didn't speak Spanish at all, so it was the biggest miscasting, I think, in the history of television. So I flew myself to Colombia, booked myself in this Spanish course for foreigners. And I spent like just 6 months there trying to learn something.
Wow. That's incredible.
Pablo Escobar. And I was so ashamed. People were like, what are you doing here? I'm just trying to learn Spanish. I would never have the courage to tell the Colombian people that I'm here to pay Pablo Escobar. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, I did want to ask about this. So Sad Pablo became a very infamous meme on the internet. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but I
love it.
It's so funny. We've got a couple
so
we wanted to show of our favorites. So you've got when that coworker you always eat lunch with is out sick. When there is no next episode button on your favorite series, or my personal favorite, your package will arrive between 3 and 6 p.m. Me at 2 p.m.
I love them. There's so one good in Brazil, it's like when Brazilians discovered that Carnival is going to take, is going to have one last day. Yeah.
Well, Kirsten, now this year marks the 30th anniversary of your breakout role in 1994's Interview with the Vampire, right? You'll remember you from that. I know. You were opposite Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt. I hear that Tom gave you a special tip in the final audition round.
Yes.
What was that?
I was the tallest and the oldest of the three girls that were left, and he's from Jersey, I'm from Jersey, so I think he had, you know, had a little bit of
Jersey love.
Exactly. And so he told me to tuck my, he was supposed to pick up each girl, and he told me to, like, tuck my legs under so I'd look tinier in his arms.
Oh, that's smart.
So that's Jersey taking care of Jersey.
Jersey took care of you. Now, we mentioned that your husband, Jesse Plemons, earlier, he's an actor. You both grew up as child actors, though. Did your sons inherit your genes, and are you open to them getting into the business at all?
Kaylee knows their genes. What do you think, Kaylee?
Little bit.
Yeah, I mean, James, for sure. Yeah, they both definitely have it in them. I mean, how could they not, right?
Yeah, like, I would imagine.
But no, I'm not in any rush. Only the grandmothers would put them in stuff right now. Not us.
Well, Kaylee, you're next starring in Alien Romulus, a new installment of the iconic franchise. What can you tell us about it, if anything, and what inspiration did you take from the original Sigourney Weaver?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I watched that movie so many times, especially growing up. Mm-hmm. And she's just so epic. And
yes. Get away from her, you!
I know. So I just tried to soak that up as much as possible, but I could never be her. I just tried to do my own version of it. But I had so much fun just running around and seeing these... some of the same people from Aliens came back to make the Xenomorph, so I really got to nerd out and ask them all the questions, and it's just completely different movie than this one. But I love it. I can't wait for people to see it.
I can't wait to see it.
Congrats.
Well, y'all, this has been fun.
Yeah. You want to just say something? Sorry, before we wrap this, because I'm so to be in front. Like, you are such. For me, you were one of the greatest actors ever.
Oh.
I'm such a fan. And then I saw you, I was like, oh my God, it's like Swoopy.
Right?
Like,
we get to sit with her every day.
You get to sit with her every day.
That's right. Yeah. And you still have to pay to get on the bus. So
I just want to say how much I love you.
Well, I have to tell y'all, you know, it's wonderful to sit with actors and to be able, because we sometimes don't get to sit with more than one.
Yeah.
But it's great for me to be able to say with y'all what it's like and how it is, because, you know, her husband, the nicest man in the world, is an actor.
Yeah.
Good enough to freak you out.
Yes.
And that is masterly.
Yeah.
That is masterly.
We pepper her with questions about acting all the
time. But this one, I'm gonna fan out for a second too. Because I've loved her all her entire career. and I just, it's such a pleasure to have you. And I've just gotten to know you and get to know your work. And you I've had a crush on, but that's a whole lot. I'm way too old for you, so not to worry. No one should worry that I'm being creepy.
Okay.
But it's wonderful to sit here with you all as well. So our thanks to Kirsten Dunst, Kaylee Spaney, and Wagner Moura. Civil War is in theaters and IMAX nationwide Friday. Do yourselves a favor. Make sure you take yourself to see it. It's not like anything else you've seen, and you will not be disappointed that you went. Just a suggestion. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow, Emmy winning actor and comedian Wayne Brady is live to talk about taking audiences back to Oz in the revival of the Broadway classic, The Wiz. Plus, the co-hosts are celebrating National Pet Day with a pooch playdate in NYC and a lot of doggy dish on The View's Yappy Hour.
Thanks for coming and watching us do this. Thanks for watching us do it on television. Joy is on the behind the podcast today.
Behind is on the behind.
And her behind is on the podcast today. We want you all to have a great day, everyone. Take a little time to enjoy The View, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text Podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text Podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip,
In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.